darkness fades into new beginnings as we lift our eyes to a hope beyond. All creation waits with an expectation to declare the reign of the Lord our God. We will not be moved when the earth gives way, for the risen one has overcome. And for every fear, there's an empty grave, for the risen one has overcome. Now the silence breaks in the name of Jesus, as the heavens cry, let the earth respond. Creation shouts with a voice of triumph to declare the reign of the Lord our God. We will not be moved when the earth gives way, for the risen one has overcome. And for every fear, there's an empty grave, for the risen one has overcome. Earth gives way, for the risen one has overcome. And for every fear, there's an empty grave, for the risen one has overcome. We will not be moved when the earth gives way, for the risen one has overcome. For every fear, there's an empty grave, for the risen one has overcome.
Good morning. We welcome you this glorious, beautiful day. Every Sunday, it's always fantastic and fun and wonderful to come into this house, but today is especially wonderful and fantastic. And I think of the scripture that says, enter his courts with thanksgiving. Enter his presence with praise. We welcome you today. We invite you. If you are visiting with us, you are so welcome. You are so loved. You have connection cards in your bulletin. We would love for you to fill that out so we know you've been with us. Romans 8 says, and Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Christ from the dead lives in you. You see, there is nothing ever too dead in your life that it cannot be resurrected. And so we invite you to worship with us, to have fun with us, to celebrate, to raise your hands in praise and thanksgiving to a risen God who says that you are made right, that you are made whole, and that same power that raised me from the dead lives in you. Are you ready to worship? Are you ready to celebrate? I want you to clap your hands. Go ahead, clap your hands. Stir up the praises. Stir up the light. Stir up the worship, because today is a good day to be in this house. Amen.
Thunder with a new future to tell, for the dry season is over, there is a cloud beginning to swell. To the skies heavy with blessing, lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ, open the heavens, and now we receive the Spirit of God. We receive your rain. We receive. Anticipation, we await the promise to come. Everything that you have spoken will come to pass. Let it be done.
praise you, Father. We thank you, God, that when you said it is finished, that you meant it. And we receive every good gift from you this morning. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that you have given us all that we need, that you have torn the veil, that you've given us full access, Father, to the presence of God any time, any moment, any second.
Jesus, over.
circumstance. He's our victory. He has overcome. He's already ahead of your trial. He's already ahead of your pain. He's the victory. Oh, we celebrate. We lift our voices to the King, to the King. Oh, this is my battle cry. Oh, I'm found in Jesus Christ. Oh, this is my battle cry.
We sing, you don't give your heart in pieces. You don't hide yourself to tease us. And I just wondered, what does that even mean? And he just kept telling me, it's the law of attraction, and that it's the unlimited power that we have in our minds to choose to recognize that the abundance is. The abundance is it, and it is always there, and it's nothing that you have to look for, to strive for, to be good at something to get, but that it is a choice. His abundance is always there. Do you see it? Can you think of something in your life right now that you can be thankful for and step into that abundance and know that He is always present, yes, and that it is our choice to recognize that and to step into it and to, yes, breathe it and to walk it. So I'm so thankful today that it is never, ever the power of God. It's never, ever the presence of God that can't be found. It is our choice. Dusty said, thank you, Father, that we have access to that at any moment, at every moment, and that it is possible to be present with you when we so choose. So today, we invite you in to choose to unlock that unlimited power of your mind and to feel His presence within you and to know and be one with Him, and you will know this love. This love that as a parent with children we can't completely comprehend. The grace and the mercy and the perfection and the beauty of the love of God. And we just stand here today in thankfulness and reverence. We thank you.
Yes.
Say, we thank you. Just tell him, I thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your presence, your power, your light, your healing. It is well.
heart's not broken. That's really, really big for some people here. There's a ton of people here. And there's people here that feel hurt. And as they walk through the world, it's not easy. I've been one of those people. I've not been one of those people. There's a lot of stuff that goes into humanity that makes it just hard kind of to be here sometime. And if you're here and you feel that way and you really struggle, that's because there's a huge amount of energy inside of you. And it's pressurized. It's the same energy that in Genesis, when God says, I'm creating the earth, that the world had pressure underneath it and it got hot. And it broke through the crust and it created what we're standing on. It separated the water from the earth. And that's where we get to live, is on top of that energy that's churning inside of the earth all the time. And in the Christmas story, God gave us a way to interact with that, and that's Jesus.
Yes.
The energy that came in that moment was to save all of us. It wasn't to save people in church. It wasn't to save just people out of church. It wasn't just to save people that follow the rules. It was to save everybody, right, in every country.
Yes.
Everywhere. It was to connect us together. And then there was a time that we're celebrating today where we had to come into direct contact with the energy, the God. We have to be a part of it, just one-on-one. And when Jesus died, it says that the veil was torn, and that veil was the thing that kept people from the very holiest of holy places. And when it tore in two, that meant that regular people, not rich people, not powerful people, not smart people, it meant people that have to hide who they are from the world, they get it. And it means that the people that have had to go to war and they've come back with PTSD, it means they get it.
Right.
It means people that don't feel beautiful, their bodies, they get it. They get to enter into that space. And I'm not going to pretend to stand here and have the answer to how to make you not feel that. But what I can tell you is every day when you wake up and you face the world, you're brave. You're a brave person. And if you're going to get up every day and you're going to face the world that might tell you you're wrong, I'm going to get up too. So will I. I'll get up with you. And we'll do this whole thing together. Like we're standing here together, and the energy of all of you is building towards just one thing. And that's the betterment of humanity. It's the betterment of earth. We're all going to a better place. And it's here, standing on this energy that was made in the very beginning. I'll tell you how I get rid of some of my pain if you need a method. And I've struggled with it, but I have it now in a way. Is I'm focused on something that I've created. Right now I'm having a baby. It's like going to be here like tomorrow. I don't know. I'm terrified. But I created that. And when I think about it, it brings me absolute quiet and peace. Because it's good. The same way that you're good. When I was a teenager, I had music. It was all I had. It was hard for me. And I had music. And I would focus on it. So if you have a song that makes you feel that quiet and peace, focus on that. Focus on what you're creating. Focus on what energy comes up when it builds you up. And in the background, while you're focused on that and you feel quiet and you feel peace, that thing that's churning, that heat, that's going to dissolve away all that pain underneath. That's what it does for me. And that's why I get to walk around not quite as scared as I used to or afraid. And I can view other people as good people, not obstacles like I used to. So take a moment and and focus in on that thing that you've created. Make it a point of light, really small and far away, and focus on it. Because behind there, all that energy, all that heat that's pressurizing you is going to churn away and melt that pain away. light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Well, you lost your life so I could find it. For the way that you did this, the way that you made everybody good. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for these people. Thank you for Griffin. In Jesus' name.
Wow, what a song. We have in my Bible, in a certain place, a certain scripture, a certain promise, have the names of about 100-something people we've been praying for over the last month to have an encounter with the God of the universe, with Jesus Christ. And we've been praying, and we're going to continue to pray. And I was praying this week, and I want to pray now how God told me to pray for these people. And maybe you can pray for your loved ones like this too, okay? So this is a good prayer. It came right out of pits of my soul, right? I mean, God just told me to pray like this. And I said, Father, I just pray for all of these people, the names of loved ones, sons and daughters and husbands and wives and whomever they are, that, Lord, that you would draw them strongly by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would send somebody to them that would speak the right word at the right time, that would awaken them back to you. I pray, Lord, for some that just need a Damascus experience where, Lord, as Paul was on his way to kill believers, kill Christians, and you just shined a bright light in his face and changed his name and changed his nature. And we just pray for all these kind of things to happen to these people, and they come to know you in a special way in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, I'm ready. You ready? All right, 42 years. This is my 42nd Sunday Easter message in a row. 40 in as many years. So I'm going to give you the best of the best of 42 years. You ready? All right, all of you ready? All of you got to be ready. It's the best of the best of 42 years, so it's going to take me a long time. Somebody said, well, if you're going to give us 42 years, that's going to be a long time. Then somebody else said, well, it may not take too long. You don't know that much. But we're going to give you all we got, okay? I want to tell you this morning why I've kept my faith. Why I have kept my faith. Not why I chose my faith. I didn't have a choice. I really didn't. I was raised to be a believer. When I was a little boy, my brother was a little boy. We had an aunt called Aunt Ruth, and she was my father's sister. And she went to Faith Baptist Church on McIntosh Road. It's still there. And she said, Drewy, that was my daddy's middle name, said, Drewy, you need to get those two boys in church. They need to be in Sunday school. And she said, if you're not going to take them, I'm going to come by and pick them up every Sunday morning. So she started coming. I think she really saw Eddie. We really needed Jesus. And that's really why it happened. But I'm glad Eddie was that way, so I got to get on board too. And so She came by every Sunday morning, took us to Sunday school and church. And one Sunday morning I got up and I told Eddie, I said, I'm not going to church this morning. And Eddie, being the tattletale he was, and the big brother always likes to tell on the younger brother, goes to Daddy and says, Buren says he's not going to church this morning. And Daddy said, well, we'll see. And I heard him stomping down the hall, and he came in the room, towering over me. He looked down. He said, boy, you're going to Sunday school. You're going to church. I looked up at him. I said, why do you send me to church? If it's so important, why don't you go? In that moment, Daddy turned around, stomped down the hall again, walked in and said, Callie Mae, get dressed. We're going to church. And 2 weeks later, he gave his heart to Christ and served him and raised me that way. And so I didn't really have a choice. I was raised that way. I was raised in this faith. But I had a choice whether or not I was going to keep this faith. I was in a room with about 10 college students about 10 years ago, and I got in the crossfire. I mean a crossfire. And they were coming to me from every angle about my faith. And they were all in college. And, you know, we raised our kids up. But I'm going to tell you something about your children. When they get grown and they go to college, they're going to come in contact with a lot of different faiths. They're going to be in contact with a lot of different things. So I got grandkids. And they're raised one way. They don't have a choice. They're going to be raised in the Christian faith. They're going to be raised in this faith. They don't have a choice. But when they get older, when they go to college, they're going to have a choice. They're going to come in contact with Jews. They're going to come in contact with Islam. They're going to come in contact with Buddhists. And all of these college students was coming after me and said, you know, are these people going to heaven? You mean to tell me that only your religion it gets people into heaven? And so I thought for a minute. I said, I'm going to lose these guys because I know I could lose them just like that if I got hard-headed. And so I just thought and asked for a little wisdom. I said, you know, I really don't know because I'm not of that faith. I don't know, but I would assume that I know what I believe about my faith and what it takes to get to heaven is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't really know what their faith would call them to do, but if they abide by those rules and they do that, well, then maybe that's the case. I don't know, but I know my faith is an easy way to go. Aren't you glad that you have the easy way? Did you know that Jesus came to make it easy to get to God? You know that the Bible says he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. I'm glad that I know that. See, the God of the Abraham is the same God the Jews serve, is the same God that Islam serves, but they don't know him as Father. We know him as Father. We have a special relationship with the God of the universe, and we know him as Father. Aren't you glad of that? I'm glad that this God that created all these things that he just sang about is my Father. Right. Not this God that's so over me like this, but a loving, kind, gracious Father who looks down with love and compassion and mercy on me all the time. So I want to take you on a journey. We're going to start a new series this morning called Reclaiming Our Ancient Paths. Reclaiming our ancient paths. There was a prophet named Jeremiah, and he stood one time and he told Israel, he says, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, and walk ye therein. It was Jeremiah who was called the weeping prophet. He wept over his people. See, Israel was chosen by God. They were chosen to be a blessing to all the nations of the world, and they have been because of their faith in God. Throughout the years, though, they tried this, they tried that. They were up one minute, down the next minute. They were serving God one day, not serving God the next day. One year they're with him, next year they're not. Sounds like a lot of people I know. Anyway, they were just in and out, in and out, in and out because they just couldn't keep it. Jeremiah looked at him one day and he said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? I wish that my head was a pool of water. I wish my eyes were a fountain so I could weep day and night for my people because I am dying in grief for them. You see, it was from the mountains of Gilead that far eastern physicians would travel. And they'd go to these Baltic trees and they would take this salve from it and they would take it back to Israel and it was a healing balm for them. And so Jeremiah is saying, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician? Is all hope gone? And sometimes we get in a place in our life where we say that, don't we? You know, I'm jumping way ahead. I was at a funeral yesterday at 2 o'clock. I went to a cousin's funeral. My cousin lost his 45-year-old son. He died of a heart attack in his sleep, 45 years old. Several years ago, he lost his daughter, 40 years old, to cancer. And I'm sitting there looking at him, and I'm going, how do you do this? How do you get through this? And then I stopped and looked and said, I know how. I know how. He's a believer. I kept my faith because I can walk away from a cemetery grieving and yet have hope. I can walk away from a graveside grieving and yet have hope. And I look at him and I look at his wife and I see them grieving, but not as those who have no hope. I see them mourning, but not as those who have no hope. I see them going through a very difficult time of their life, but they've got hope. They've got hope. And so I kept my faith because I see those kind of things. I keep my faith because that same Gilead, or the mountains of Gilead, was where the Ishmaelites was coming back one day. And they came across these 12 brothers, and 11 of the brothers was about to kill their younger brother, Joseph. Remember the story? And they took Joseph and they sold him to the Ishmaelites, and he went on to be the savior of Israel. On and on, you find mountains of Gilead had a special place with God. It was the mountains of Gilead that the sun rose every morning, giving light to Jerusalem. It was the mountains of Gilead that Isaiah stood at the bottom of those Judean hills and looked out across Israel one day, and he said, who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He will spring up before us as a tender plant. He has no root he has no form of godliness that we should desire. But he was beaten and smitten of God, and we esteemed him not. Surely he's carried our sorrows. He's carried our griefs. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. For all we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord's laid on him the iniquity of us all. Of us all. And then he went on, and Paul said it like this in Romans at chapter 8. He says, there is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For what the flesh, what the law could not do, because it could not save, it could not, Israel tried it over and over and over again. But Jesus came and condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be lived out through Christ and that alone. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you're just a religious person? I used to say religion, we gave religion a bad name. We got a good religion, folks. You got a good religion. Your faith in Christian is a good religion. It's a good faith. It's a good faith. It is the best faith. It's not only good, it's the best. And so, down through history, finally it came to the prophecies were going to be fulfilled. And this child was born, was raised up, and at 30 years of age, he went into the ministry. Taught people, taught them good stuff. I love Jesus because of what he taught me, but I love him for more than that, for what he did for me. And so one day, it gets to the place, and he's then told everybody what's going to happen. He's told everybody, you ever wonder why people don't get it? The very men he spent 3.5 years telling them almost daily, I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified, but on the third day, I'm going to be raised to life. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. And so it all started when it came to the point in the time when it was ready to happen. And Jesus got into a place called Gethsemane, and he prayed a prayer. That's an important prayer, and it's one of the main reasons you're here today. It's one of the main reasons that our faith is what it is. And it's a strange prayer because he had said for 3.5 years, I'm going to go to the Calvary. I'm going to die. They're going to crucify me. They're going to murder me. They're going to kill me. He kept saying that. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, he gets under such stress, he's praying, God, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Three times he fell on his face and prayed, God, any other way, let this cup pass from me. But then he prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he prayed such that his sweat became as great drops of blood. You know what that blood was for? For us not to always have to have our way. We don't always have to have our way. And if you'll ever come to the realization that our way is not always the best way anyway. Because what I thought was the best way for my life years ago was not the best way for my life. And God turned it around and gave me the best way for my life. But it wasn't the way that I thought that it ought to be. And every now and then I still don't think it's the way that it ought to be. But I'm so glad. He went in, they took a crown of thorns and they placed it upon his head. Now they did that to mock him and call him a king, and they were making fun of him and shaming him and doing all these things. But Jesus knew there was something different about those crown of thorns. Because in the garden, the thing that man was cursed with, he says, from the sweat of your brow, you're going to labor now. He says the earth's going to bring forth thorns and thistles, and it's going to be difficult for you to have fruit and to produce. And he said, I came to make it easier for you. How easy is it for you, Buren? Grocery store? I don't even have to plant it. I don't have to even dig up a garden. I just go into a supermarket and I just buy it. I don't have to labor at all for it. You say, well, that's because of what? That's because Jesus came. You got to start seeing Jesus and seeing God everywhere you go. You wouldn't have a supermarket today if it hadn't been for Jesus and the crown of thorns on his head. You couldn't go buy that big old steak, David. We like to grill, and we don't got to kill the cow. We ain't got to skin it. We don't have to process it. We just go pick it up. Ain't got to pay a price for it. That's all we got to do. He went on the Calvary, and by his stripes, he says, we're healed. Healed of what? Our sins, our malignant soul that we have is healed. The iniquities in me that lean me the wrong way. He says, I'm going to heal you of that. I'm going to heal you of that. And then he had a sword that pierced his side. And that sword pierced his side, that out came blood and water. And really what came out of his side was you and I. Just as Eve was taken out of the side of Adam, the church was taken out of the side of Jesus. And the church of the living God, the Christian church, the Christian faith, came out of his side. Wow. Wow. Y'all are hard crew on Easter Sunday morning. But I'm about to get you pumped. You ready, Luke? All right, buddy, we're going. They finally get him to Calvary. They think they're going to get the best of him. Jesus said seven things on Calvary. Seven sayings, they say. Seven sayings he said. The first one he repeated, though, over and over and over and over again. He hung from 9 o'clock Sunday morning, Friday morning, till 3 p.m. 6 hours he was hanging on the cross. But the first 3 hours he only said one thing. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. While they're nailing spikes into his hands and into his feet, while they're beating him, while they're spitting on him, he's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, it's one thing to forgive somebody a week later. It's one thing to forgive somebody a month later. It's one thing to forgive somebody a year later. It's one thing to forgive somebody 5 years later. But to forgive them while it's going on is ultimate forgiveness. While they're actually inflicting the pain and punishment. He is in the process of saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No reason. The Bible says that Jesus always in the scriptures after the cross is sitting at the right hand of the Father. But one time he's standing. Stephen's being stoned to death. And Stephen prays the same prayer. He says, do not lay this sin to them. Forgive them for what they're doing. And Stephen said, he looked up and he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Because Jesus stood up and looked over the portals of glory and said, wow, that's what I died for. That's what this guy's doing, exactly what I did on the cross. He's forgiving right in the process of being stoned to death. Father, forgive them. The next thing he did, there was two thieves on the cross. Two thieves on the cross. One said, if you're really the Son of God, get off the cross. And while you're at it, take me down too. And one thief finally wised up and he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today, you'll be in me in paradise. I want to tell you something, church. Every day is today. And you can be with him in paradise. Today is a good day to be with him in paradise. And how you have today in paradise, you don't know how you have today in paradise, and every day is to paradise. Stop letting the past and the future dictate your present. See, the two thieves represent your past and your future. And if you're always looking at the past, you'll never live in the moment. If you're always looking to the future, you'll never live in the moment. All you have is today. And when you focus on today, you can live in paradise. Hallelujah. I can live in paradise today. Say today. Today, today I can live in paradise. And then he looks and he sees some people there. Now, some women, you all need to get excited. There was only one man there, and his name was John. Something good about John's. Y'all get that when you get home. It was John, the disciple there, whom John called himself the beloved disciple, and he should have called himself that because he's the only disciple there. All the others were gone, and the only other people there were women. It's funny, the only other women that came to the tomb, it was women. I said, it was women. It was women. Women. Ought to be some estrogen flowing in here this morning. It was women. It was women at the cross. It was women at the tomb. And it was just John. And John's not upset because the other disciples aren't there. Peter's out cursing Christ. The Peter says, Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll die for you. Really, Peter? For that rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And he don't just deny him, he curses. He curses. I walked by Sunday school class years ago. We had Sunday school and the teacher was teaching the kids and teacher said, as Easter Sunday, and teacher said, what did Peter do after he denied, after the rooster crowed? What did he do? And she wanted to hear them say, he went out and he wept bitterly. But one of them jumped up and said, he went and got that rooster and killed it. But he didn't. He wept bitterly. But he looks at John and says, John, behold thy mother. Take care of my mother. Aren't you glad that the cross takes care of relationships? Doesn't just take care of your sins. Takes care of relationships. Here he is dying. How would you like to be Mary looking at her son hanging on a cross? Hanging on a cross. He took care of her. He said, John, you're special to me. You're special. You're special to God. You need to know you're special to God. And he prayed, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is interpreted, my God, why have you forsaken me? For one moment, Jesus became sin. And the Bible says that God is too holy to behold iniquity. And just for a fleeting moment, he turned his head, as it were, And then in a fleeting moment, it was all done because sin had been paid the price for. He paid the price. He paid the price. Then he said, I thirst. And they thought they were going to mock him. They gave him some vinegar with wine mixed. But they put it on something they shouldn't have put it on. They put it on a hyssop. A hyssop brush. That's what they did at the blood. I always watch Ten Commandments night before Easter. It's on every Saturday night before Easter. I've watched it 40-something years now. Know it by heart. So I heard something last night never had heard before, Joy. He said this is side issue. When Moses, he came down and he says, I talked to God and his light's in every man. I never heard that in Ten Commandments. Cecil B. That was 1950. He said his light's in every man. It just needs to be lit up. They need to know it. They need to know it. And so he drinks it. And then he went on to say, it is finished. And into thy hands I commend my spirit. That's been pretty good stuff, isn't it? Isn't it? You ready for the best? I love all of that about the cross. I love all of that about Jesus. But they put him in a tomb. And 3 days later, he comes out. Now, that'd have been me. I'd have went right into the city of Jerusalem, and I would have let everybody see me, and especially those who crucified me. I would go get the disciples together. I'd get all my close people together and say, hey, I'm back. I told you so. I told you I would be back. Wouldn't you do that? Wouldn't you do that? I mean, I'd first go find my wife. I'm back. And she may go, oh. But I'd go find my family. I'm back. I told you I'm coming back. He didn't do that. He goes for a 7-mile walk toward a place called Emmaus. Because Peter had heard, he had run to the tomb, he wasn't there. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and all the Marys were there. And he was gone because he said, you can't find the living among the dead. And so Peter's there and there's this two people there that you never heard of. Say, never heard of. One was named Cleopas and his companion. Companion might have been his wife, don't know. But they were walking toward Emmaus. If you go to Jerusalem, there's no Emmaus. They'll tell you, I think this is the road, and I think Emmaus was that way, but there's no such thing anymore. But here's this man called Cleopas and his companion, and they're walking toward Emmaus. And they're talking, and their heads dropped, and they're sad. And Jesus walks up next to them. And he says, why are you so sad? Why are you so downcast? And Cleopas says, haven't you heard? The one that we put all our hope in, the one that we thought was going to deliver us, the one that we thought was going to save us, they crucified him, and he's dead? And they're talking to him? And Jesus begins, the Bible said, to expound to them all of their walking 7 miles. For 7 miles, Jesus expounds to them all of the scriptures that the prophets spoke about them, all of them, for 7 miles. I never walked 7 miles. Really haven't. Don't plan to. Have no intention to. But they get to the end of the 7-mile journey, and they looked at Jesus and said, well, at first I said, and Jesus walked like he was just going to keep going. Because he's such a gentleman. He only comes to where he's invited. Anyway. So they said, why don't you eat with us? And so Jesus sat down. Here is the Christ they had put their hope in. They were so sad, they didn't recognize him. How can you be so distressed and sad that Jesus is right there with you and you don't even recognize him? Because life can get that bad. But he's there. They sat down to eat. And Jesus reached and he grabbed the loaf of bread. And he took it as they did back then. And he broke it. And he handed it to them. And when he did, they saw the scars. And they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us when he talked to us? Didn't our hearts burn with us? I preached some of this last year, and I thought the part that people was really going to get was this one, and they didn't. So I'm going to make you get it this time. Because last year, all y'all got was drink the cup. I thought, they're going to love this part. But when I was on the part, because a lot of you were drinking the cup, you didn't want to drink. Sometimes you just need to drink the cup and go on. Somebody asked me one time, I can't deal with this rejection. Quit dealing with it and accept it and go on. People rejected me all my life. I can't deal with it. I ain't got time to deal with your rejection to me. I just accept it and go on. Because as long as he don't reject me, then I'm all good. But they saw the scars. And so Jesus then turns around, heads back to Jerusalem, 7 miles back. Cleopas and companion took off too. And they got there with the disciples and they were sharing everything together about what they'd seen. About that time, Jesus walks in. And he says, see my scars? See my side? And I asked myself the question last year, why the scars? Why does a resurrected Lord, a man raised from the dead, couldn't God did some cosmetic surgery on him? Don't you think he healed a leper who's had fingers missing? And the Bible says that God made him whole, which meant his fingers grew back. It meant whatever the leprosy had eaten away was all healed again. Why wouldn't God fill in the holes? Why wouldn't he take care of them scars? Because those scars were going to remind him today what he did for you today. And the reason that Jesus went after Cleopas and the companion, you know why he went after them? Because he needed them. He needed them. I want you to hear something. I hear it preached. I hear it taught. God doesn't need you. He needs you so much he sent his son. Kid, I want you to play that little, just playing it last week. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. I want you to, I love this, but I want to sing it to you in a different way, okay? I'm going to sing it the way it was written. Tis so sweet, trust. I'm going to get my tongue. Just to prove him more and more. Let me start over. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. just to you. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Now, this is how Jesus would sing it. Penny, penny, how I love you, how I proved you o'er and o'er. Penny, penny, precious penny, because of grace I trust you more. I need you, Cleopas. I need you, companion. You weren't one of my original 12. You weren't even my 70 of the three or the one. But I need you, Cleopas. And I know you're disheartening you down. And I tell you how much I need you. I'll leave Jerusalem and I'll follow you 7 miles till you get it. I'll follow you 7 miles. I'll follow you seven. I'll go as far. I'm going to come after you. I'm going to go as far as I can to get you. Aren't you glad? And so before you leave here today, I want you to know, we need God. I know that. I know that with every fiber of my being. We need God. But you better understand, God needs you. God needs you. That's why he came. To redeem mankind. To restore the earth. To bring it back to where he wanted it to be. To cause everybody to call upon the name of the Lord. To call everybody to see, yes, the light of God is in them. It needs to be brought to light. You need to see who you are. You need to understand that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would never die, never perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. And I want you to stand, and you need prayer this morning. As a lady here, I want to pray for Faye, if you'd bring her down. And if you need prayer, but for anything, but this is what the main thing I want to give you an invitation to, because I got a feeling there's some Cleopas's here. I got a feeling there's some Cleopas and some companions of his here, and you've been walking away from Jerusalem. You've been walking away from your destiny. You've been walking away. You've been walking away. And you don't think, you think maybe all hope is gone. It can never be back again. Cleopas, Jesus is with you. Cleopas, Jesus is breaking the bread with you right now. And if that's you, it's Easter Sunday morning. Somebody else will hide the eggs. Come on down. Come on down. There's something way more important than that. Come on down right now and say, you know, I'm a Cleopas, and I might have thought all hope was gone, but I'm coming back right now. I want to make a statement of faith on this Easter Sunday 2018. I want to make a statement of faith. I want to reignite my faith in God. I want my hope to come back where it needs to be. Is that you? Huh? Come on, Cleopas. He loves you. He needs you. He needs you. If he needs a Cleopas with that kind of name, he needs you. Come on. He needs you. All hope's not gone. You just can't see him. He's there. He is there. And he wants to sing over you how much he loves you, how much you've proved. Because of his grace, he loves you so. Father, in the name of Jesus, when hope is gone, hope arrives. We hope sometimes even against hope. And I pray for this dear lady that you would touch her body from top of her head to the soles of her feet and bring healing. And just minister your love and your grace to her right now. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks, Lord. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. You know, when that phrase came to me, why have I kept my faith? Because getting your faith is one thing, keeping it is quite another. Getting married is one thing. Staying married is another thing. Keeping it. Paul said at the end of his life, I fought a good fight, I've kept the faith. So Cleopas and your wife, is your wife? Fiance, going to be your wife. Father, I thank you for this couple. Thank you, Lord, for the awakening that's happening in them right now, for the light of the glorious gospel to shine in their hearts and their lives. And this is a new day, a new beginning, a new beginning. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you that we are awakened again to, Lord, your great love and your great mercy. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, you need to leave here today and you just thank God over and over again that you kept your faith. Because there are people who got their faith and lost their faith. Keeping your faith is something awesome. Thank God that you've kept your faith. That when hope was gone, hope came back. Right? We've all lost hope at some time in our life. But not really, because hope's with us. Cleopas had lost hope and he was talking to hope. And didn't even know it. Didn't even know it. Wow. Took me a long time to get to the message. Had I only known it was about Cleopas. I'd have got there sooner, church. He didn't tell me that. If I'd have just known it was going to be all about him, then we would have got there a lot quicker. But thank you for hanging around and staying. Thank you. Thank you. Man. He didn't write no books. He hadn't raised no dead. He hadn't healed nobody. He just believed in the King of the universe. Said, I need you. So I'm going to leave Jerusalem. I'm going to come after you. Because I need you. I need you. Ain't no big eyes and no little U's in the kingdom. God needs us all. Say, God needs us all. Reason sometimes, I'll shut up in a minute, maybe not, I don't know. But maybe the reason so many people aren't as connected as they ought to be with God is they just don't think he needs them. You don't think, say to God today over and over again, God, you need me. You need me. You need me. You need me. Yes, I need him. Don't get me wrong. I need him. He needs me too. That's what covenant. He needs me. He needs me. I'm glad that He needed me so much that He paid that price. If you weren't so worthy, would He have done what He did? Would He? Think about it. Would He go to the, would He suffer that kind of shame and pain if you weren't worthy? I don't think so. He says you're worthy. You're my son and my daughter. You're worthy. Men, my kids are worthy of my love. Sure are. I need them and they need me. But I need them too. Amen. Next Sunday is going to be something really special given about some changes going to be made. You need to be here to hear it. It's going to be neat. It's going to be good. I'm going to be in Cabo. You know what? You singing them songs this morning, I'm thinking, I'm going to be in Cabo tomorrow. I'm going to be in Cabo tomorrow looking at the Sea of Cortez going, thank you, God, for creating the Sea of Cortez just for me. I'm going to be in Cabo tomorrow.
You may be seated. As our ushers are coming this morning, receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, now is when you can take your connection card that you have filled out. Hopefully you put an email address on there or a cell number that we can text you or follow up with you. Want to remind you that on First Wednesday, which is this Wednesday coming up, we gather again here, so we want you to come out and be a part of that. The youth are meeting every Wednesday night. But First Wednesdays will be everybody, children's departments all across. How many of you are still using the Eagles Way app? Downloaded it, using it. If you have not downloaded Eagles Way app, you need to do that. The app has all kinds of things within it. You can read Joey's blog on a weekly basis when Dusty blogs. It is posted there. The church calendar is there. There is all the social media stuff is available there. So good stuff that you can do there. A lot of people, over half of you now, are giving online, either at the website or through the app. So we're going to pray, we're going to bless this, and then we're going to stand and worship before we're dismissed. Lord, we thank you that we can come to your house and receive, but Lord, that we can give. We can give of our time and our talent and our treasures. I pray, Father, Lord, that you just continue, Father, Lord, to make your way clear. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the renewing that is taking place, the kainos, Father, as we continue this year, Father, Lord, renewing in us each and everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Stand and let's sing.
No longer old.
gratitude that we sing. It is finished. It is done. The blood of Jesus overcomes. It is finished. He has won. He has won. It is finished. It is done. The blood of Jesus overcomes. It is finished. He has won. He has won. It is finished. It is done. The blood of Jesus. You guys have a wonderful rest of the day.